Hi, I'm Jonas Stamatis. Joining me in the studio today is Maestro Ken Lamb, music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jonas.
Get ready now for a special sneak preview of the upcoming Magnificent Mozart Chamber Orchestra concert this Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in downtown Springfield. Maestro, I imagine we might hear something by Mozart on the program.
Yes, it would be appropriate since we have the title Magnificent Mozart. We're actually going to hear a very well-known work of his. It's one of his double concertos, the Sinfonia Concertante for violin and viola. And it's the last of his concerti for multiple instruments. He's written quite a few, you know, a three-piano concerto, a two-piano concerto, a two-violin concerto, a wind instrument, Sinfonia Concertante. And this is, everyone will agree, it's the finest of them all.
And how is this different from a conventional, let's say, romantic concerto?
Well, it's for multiple instruments. So this, it's more like its predecessor would have been the Concerto Grosso. Mm-hmm. And so Mozart called it Sinfonia Concertante is very likely to have been the soloist himself. His favorite
viola,
instrument,
right?
Yes, mm-hmm. was viola, and wrote, you know, a viola quintet, and as well as this gorgeous Sinfonia Concertante.
Mm. And this piece also is one of the aspects that makes it so enjoyable is it's something like a conversation between the instruments. And I think the same holds true for the other chamber works on the program. What else is on the program?
Well, it's Stravinsky's Dumbarton Oaks Concerto, which is Stravinsky's response to the Bach-Brandenburg Concerti. Mm-hmm. It's scored almost the same as the third Brandenburg Concerto, being three violins, three violas. But Stravinsky's added a few wind instruments to it. And in fact, the theme is the same, especially in the first movement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what Stravinsky's done, I always refer to Stravinsky as a cubist. And so you look at a Picasso painting, or, you know, his cubist ones, and you see a portrait, but you see a nose pointing one way and the eyes looking in the other, and maybe
angles.
And that's what he does. You know, he takes up the Baroque concerto, like the Brandenburg, and chops them up, and then stick them back together, but in a sort of odd kind of Stravinskian way, a cubist way. So what you get is something that sounds like Baroque music, but it's not. But it's sort of, there's something almost like you think there's something wrong with it. And Stravinsky's used this technique not just to Baroque music. He did it to jazz. The Ebony Concerto is an example of that. He did it with 12-tone music. He did it with romantic music. So he's a bit of a chameleon, Stravinsky. He's very good at what he does.
And I'm perhaps most excited by the last piece on the program.
To the Point of Jennifer Higdon, which originated as a movement of the quartet. And she orchestrated for a string orchestra, so added the bass. And it's interesting, as you know, we talked about the cubism in Stravinsky. This is almost like, you know, the name gives it away, To the Point. It's almost like pointillistic. So you have everyone playing little cells. And when combined, it becomes an image. And it's like one of those sort of impressionist pointillistic paintings that you can see. You know, when you're very close up, you can't see anything because they're all dots. But if you get 30 feet away, and then you see a person. And it's very exciting.
And my final question for you, Jennifer Higdon, a living female composer, Why are female composers, do you think, so often overlooked in programming by major orchestras around the world?
Well, I think, first of all, female composers historically were discouraged from composing. I mean, look at the case of Alma Mahler. Mm-hmm. Alma was a fantastic composer, but Mahler made her stop composing because she was supposed to be the wife that supports the husband. Mm-hmm. Fanny Mendelssohn, the same thing. Incredibly talented composer, but just lived at a time where, we don't even have to talk about equality and right to vote and all that. You know, that was a time that the expectation of the roles of the genders are very different. I do think the world is coming around. There are a lot of really wonderful living female composers, and we are also really reevaluating historical female composers like the Alma Mahler, like Fanny Mendelssohn, like Clara Schumann, Lili Boulanger. And there in America, like many things, we take the lead. There's a lot of very fine female composers. And
the same thing with conductors, I think. It's sort of a changing scene as well.
I think so. You know, it's – and if you look at the composition of the orchestra itself, you know, it used to be everyone in the orchestra has to be male.
The Berlin
model. Absolutely. But nowadays, if you look at any orchestra in the world, you probably see a majority of them being – women. Mm-hmm. And so it's changing. And of course, the conductors, it's also going in the same direction. And I think at the end of the day, the only thing that should matter is how well you conduct.
Absolutely.
And it's not about gender. It shouldn't be about race. Shouldn't be about anything. So let's hope we move in the right direction.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you'll join the Illinois Symphony Chamber Orchestra this Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in wishing Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart a happy birthday. The magnificent Mozart concert will feature the brilliant Sinfonia Concertante and works by Stravinsky and Higdon. For tickets and further information, visit ilsymphony.org. I'm Jonas Stamatis. I'll see you at the concert.